Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have my co-host, Barbie, here. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, everybody.
Now, Barbara, being this is a friend of yours, I'm going to let you do the introducing.
Okay. I would love to. Everybody, we are continuing our Playboy Playmate series, and I am so glad to have this special guest today, because not only is she an iconic Playboy Playmate, but she is a really good friend of mine, and I've been wanting to get her on for a while now. So please welcome Miss August 1991 and Playboy's Playmate of the Year, 1992, Karina Harney. Hi, Karina.
Hi, Barbara. How are you?
I am so great. And yeah, we are so glad to have you on. How is it over in Las Vegas? Are you there today?
Yes. It is hot, hot, hot. But, you know, I'm indoors, so it doesn't
Nothing
matter.
Nothing new to you. Nothing new to you, because that is your home. And it was my home, too. I loved living in Las Vegas.
I just
learn how to deal with it.
You do. And then you learn to enjoy it. It really is something that, you know, it's like the dog days of summer are real right now. We're in them. But I still love it. I still love the heat.
I love the heat, too. Especially those hot summer nights. The hot summer nights. I love that.
It just feels good, doesn't it?
Yes, and I'm planning on coming out to Vegas. I would love to see you. I'm going to be coming out September 10th.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, definitely.
For a few nights. Okay, well, I'm definitely going to contact you, and I'm going to hold you to that get-together. But,
yeah.
Okay, everybody. We are going to start the interview now, and we always start with a certain question. And the reason being is because this question is something that I've been asked so many times, and it seems to be something that the general public out there is so interested in that we don't really ever hear about everybody's story, which is very, very different. And here we go. Karina Harney. How did you become a Playboy Playmate?
Well, oh gosh, we get to go down memory lane. I love this. I was, my first boyfriend, who sadly is no longer with us, he asked me, well, he found an ad in the paper, of all things, and he said, you know, I found this ad. He called me Baby Doll. He's like, Baby Doll, I found this ad in the paper. And it says, it said Playmates Wanted. And I did not know what a playmate was. I was like, oh, okay, golfing with the elderly, maybe playing checkers with, you know, I don't know what it is. Some kind of like
right.
A playmate
companion,
with, you know, help the kids or something. And then when he told me it was Playboy, I mean, I had never even been naked in front of anyone. I used to hide when I would be getting, you know, ready to go swimming with my friends. They're like, we're all girls here. Why do you always go hide in the bathroom? I was very modest. And so the funny thing is, I was even offended by him, like Little Miss Self-Righteous, you know, because as soon as he said Playboy, I called my mom and I said, Mom, you are not going to believe what Dean was giving me if I should, you know, pose for Playboy. And she's like, oh my gosh, this is a great idea.
Oh, you're kidding.
Really?
Wow.
What a wonderful opportunity. So I was like, really? I thought my mom was going to be on my team, you know. And then,
right.
You know, I have remembered just, my grandpa collected Playboy, and I always thought the images were so beautiful, even when I found a stack of Playboys when I was little. I was just mesmerized. But when it came to thinking about it, I just you know, I had that initial, like, what is he thinking? But then when my mom really made me realize, hey, you know, this is a great opportunity. And Marie Erickson, she was a talent scout for Playboy, was very good friends with Gary Cole, the photo editor out there in Chicago. And she was a scout for him. She always wanted to be a playmate and was never able to do it. And then she started scouting, and I ended up going to do a test shoot at her house.
Wait,
and
hold on, Karina.
Cousin,
Karina, hold on. The advertisement in the newspaper, was this the woman that you're talking about, or how did you know the woman?
She
who
put
was
the ad.
Okay.
Yes, she put an ad out in the paper. Exactly, Marie Erickson.
But you had not heard of her before?
No, I had never heard of her, and so when I, you know, decided to go to her house and fill out the Playmate data sheet, and she was taking pictures of girls, you know, and just in lingerie, and sending them in to Gary, and he was approving who, you know, they were going to fly out to do a test shoot. And that said, it was so weird. My cousin was swimming in the backyard, and I'm like, that is my cousin in your backyard swimming. She said, that's
really?
My daughter's best friend. Yes. And then I just felt like just that was like a meant to be thing. Everything that happened was just, it was meant to be, you know what I mean?
All aligned. Yes, I do know what you mean.
It's all lined up. It was all, planned.
Wow.
Like,
okay. But when you're 20 years, were you 19 at that time or 20? Because I read that you were the youngest actual Playmate of the Year at that time.
Yeah. I was 18. I was 18 when I.
No wonder you were modest.
Yeah.
You were right out of high school.
Oh, yeah. That's what I mean. I was, And just had started, you know, I had taken some pictures in a swimsuit, and all of that was new to me. You know, I thought, oh my gosh.
So,
and then,
were you wanting to be a model then?
Were you wanting modeling? Well, I was started modeling in the fourth grade. I went to. It's so funny looking back. I'm like, I remember going to, Lens. Modeling school, and then, you know, doing my first commercial with Dick Van Patten and in the fourth grade. So I started kind of, you know, print ads and things like that when I was very young. But
right
then,
in Las Vegas?
Yes. Yeah. Right out of Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. And did you have brothers and sisters that were older or younger?
I have a brother and a sister that are both younger, so they they did a little bit of the modeling.
Okay, so your mom was open to, obviously, the entertainment industry. If she's the one taking you siblings to all of those interviews and things like that, so she was aware and pretty cool with all of that. But what about your dad? Because when you said, oh, I'm testing or I'm trying out for Playboy, I mean, sometimes a lot
I was
of ladies are
about my
worried.
Grandma. Yeah, I was
your
concerned
grandma?
About I went to my grandma because I was like, Grandma, I just wanted to, you know what you thought about the fact that I may test for Playboy, but I wanted to hear what you think about that. And she said, Karina, I think that whatever you do, it was so cute. She said, I will be proud of you because I know that you're going to make the right decision, and I'll be proud of you either way. And I'm like, thanks, Grandma. But it was like she really gave me her blessing. And then my dad is just my dad. He's so funny. He's very proud of me. But, you know, once I posed and everything, because he said he basically said, go for it without saying it, if that makes sense, where he wasn't like, oh, you know, this is a disgrace or anything. But then, you know, my dad's law enforcement, my whole family. I grew up in law enforcement. And so it was, my dad was a law judge after he retired from the highway patrol and was a hearings officer. And so he's so funny. He would have some of the police officers or different attorneys or whatever that would say, hey, would you have your daughter sign this? And he would stick them in an envelope and just hand them to us. So-and-so wants you to sign this to, you know, whoever it was. And then I would just, you know, say, he goes, just go sign it and bring it back. You know, so funny.
Right.
But
that is sweet. But your photograph, I mean, all photographs of Playboy for the Playboy Playmate, at least, are very tasteful, very classy. It is so artistic. I believe it is art.
Yeah. Definitely.
We're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I know you believe that too.
Yes. I saw one of your posts. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And it is, it's fun to see. And what was so special about the Playmates as art, which they really are, is all of the girls are so, you were saying it earlier, so unique and so special in their own right. And the way they all come together, it's fun. It's really neat the way Hess had a vision and an idea, and he really did pick, you know, what was initially that girl next door, but it's an interesting art concept when you understand visually just how men, you know, it's so different how, you know, a lot of people think it's being objectified, but at the end of the day, who isn't and what isn't objectified in some way?
Yeah,
but
art is beautiful.
And the fact that their face
has to go with their body.
There's like a totally thing. There's a thing there that people don't realize. You could have a beautiful face, and as odd as this sounds, there's something symmetrical that doesn't happen, and that's why Playmates had to test. Their boobs may not look right with their freaking legs. It's like, it's weird.
Right.
Like in an image, that's a real thing. And if that sounds superficial, I think it's a beautiful superficiality I'm proud to have been a part of. I'm like,
exactly.
Who knew?
They're not going to put my body. Exactly. I mean, if they're not going to put those stipulations in, I mean, Hef wanted, I watched something about Hef, and he was so super picky about the Playmate he chose.
Yes.
And you know what? That makes us more special. I mean,
yes.
Would we want to be in a group where, oh, whatever, just pass her, bring her in, but who cares? No. It is special.
No.
They look at everything. And not only that, but also I was going to ask you, since it sounds like you went to do a lot of work in Chicago, which is odd. I mean, that had to do with the advertisement that you were answering and they were doing it in Chicago. But isn't it more fun to go to L.A. where the Playboy Mansion is? And, you know, I'm sure you did that so much after that. But how great that is to be a part of that. And, I was just going to ask you, so tell us the next step after, they said Gary Cole in Chicago, the editor there said, yes, we want this girl, Karina Harney, and they flew you out. What happened then?
I always laugh when I tell this story because it's funny. So for one thing, I am 18, wet behind the ears. You know, I am terrified. I'm going, what am I walking into? So there was a girl that was not working out with this bicycle set, and they were having a really hard time. She just wasn't working out. She was not going to be a Playmate. They were hopeful, but they had flown her out to test, and it was not working. So they actually threw me out right away.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but my goodness, can you imagine if that happened? I mean, your hopes are so high. You work so much for Playboy. you also see a lot of the limelight during that whole ordeal. At least if you go to the mansion, you're seeing that and you want that lifestyle. And then it doesn't work for you. How do they handle that?
Devastating. I know. I felt so bad for this girl. I was like, my gosh. So they flew her home and flew me in, like, within days because they didn't want to tear down this set. And you know in the studio how they'll build a set. And for even for the test, it was like this little set that they loved. And when I say she didn't work out, you know, it sounds horrible to say that, but I guess, you know, that it just, they knew, and you know how picky Hef was. He just knew this was not going to be a playmate. And and then they flew me in, and then I was terrified. So, I mean, when Hef saw my test photos from that, being on that same bike as that girl, I think the makeup lady, sadly, it's so sad, and God rest her soul, she's not here anymore, but she, Sue, she was the one that told me, she kind of, we were looking at the girl before, and she was telling me to relax, because she goes, relax, you know. I was so nervous that I had never taken nude photos before, and the test.
And you knew that that girl didn't make it on the exact same set before
so
you.
I was like, even more just terrified. So when Hef was going through all of the different test photos, and you know, there's so many girls they're looking at, he was just going through them really quickly, and he's like, no, 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 you know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and then he came to my picture, and he just, Gary said he'd never seen him do that, where he just started laughing.
Really?
He kept looking at my picture and laughing, yes. He goes, she looks like a startled fawn. He said, she looks like a startled fawn. He said, if you can get her in, comfortable in front of the camera, we'll have a playmate. And so, I mean, that was just a miracle because I was so scared. My eyes were wide open. You could tell I was just so nervous. And then they had me.
Wait, before you change out of that subject, I want to know, did they ever publish any of those photos on the bike?
There is one, and I even still have my friendship. I used to wear friendship bracelets and, you know, I was a kid, and I didn't even cut my friendship bracelets off, you know, so those are on there. So, yes, there's, like, one that I've seen. You know how we get those 8x10s that I don't know where any of that stuff is now, but somebody had given me an 8x10. There's a few of those pictures that turned out decent, you know. They were, I mean, you know, Richard Bagley was so good.
Richard Bagley. There's other things that Playboy would just use photos for. Like, they had, like, 20 other publications on the newsstands, like Playboy, Playmates in Bed, Wet n' Wild, all of those that they would just use. I mean, they were smart. They used your images. So I'm going to look for those bikes. Is it a stationary exercise bike or a bicycle?
No.
What should we
like
look for out there?
It's an old, I think it's red, but it's just like an old bicycle, and I'm wearing a white T-shirt, you know, hanging off. And then I think I'm wearing Converse tennis shoes. Maybe I'm wearing red Converse tennis shoes.
No,
I'm
going to
be keeping my eye out for that. Go ahead, Johnny.
Can I ask you a question?
Okay. Yeah.
You know, about a few years ago, I had become friends with a lot of Playboy Playmates, and I had also gotten to talk to this lady who was in a beauty pageant, and I forgot where she was in or something, I forgot, but what happened was that she goes, well, why are you friends with those Playmates? And I said, well, I don't understand, there's just as many people that say the pageantry is degrading. So what happened was that I became friends, the first Playmate I became friends with was Linda Weissmeyer. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that name. And she said that she thought that the pageants were worse because the pageants, you're comparing another person to another person to another person. And I guess I understand. I mean, it just seems kind of silly to look at you and say, oh, that's a 9 or this answer is a 10 or something. I mean,
live.
You know, I
live.
Think it actually
like being...
yeah, it's a little bit.
I never like
that. I think
judges.
It's not as. What?
I don't want to be judged. I mean, that's fine for other people. If, you know, they can get scholarships and it could be good for them. But I never like the idea of somebody looking at me and judging me on anything like my looks, judging me. No, Playboy
like
is different.
On a stage. They, yeah.
Yeah. They look at you and they admire you and then they
but what is
are
your
grateful
opinion
for
on that?
You and they publish you and you're special. It's way different. It's way different.
What do you think
go
about
ahead,
all that,
answer.
Karina?
What's that?
What do you think? What do you think about the pageant versus Playboy
Playmates? I've watched them when I was younger, and I don't know. I think it's a weird thing too. I think I've never really loved. I know Shayna, and she loves that pageant world and. You know, I've been to a few of them. I know Peggy's daughter does them. These are both, you guys know these Playmates.
If you win, it's great.
It's wonderful, and it's. I get that that's, you know, their thing. I could never. I don't like that world, even going, but that's my personal opinion. I just don't like that world. I cannot imagine living in that world.
I have a follow up with that because, you know, a question with that because it's funny because sometimes when and this was more like a dating thing because this is what was happening when I was talking to this lady that was in the pageants is that I would talk to her and every answer she gave, everything she gave me was the I want to win, I want to beat everybody answer. And whereas what you do is it's a little more like I just want to be me. I mean, don't try to outdo 20 people. I mean, you know, I like the fact that like, for example, Ilke Jensen, Barb Moore, and Doreen Harney were all 10s, but they're not all alike. You know, you're all very different, and that's one of the nice things about it. I mean, you understand?
And we were never held. The thing about pageantry, it's almost a, even though they, you know, these girls are all unique because everybody's unique, there's a cookie cutter thing that they do no matter what. It's
a and there's
formula.
There's a lot of things that go on that aren't exactly fair. Like when I interviewed a Miss Delaware one time, and she told me that the Miss Texas pageant is 6 months before the Miss Delaware pageant. Right.
Wow.
So that's why you see so many Miss Texases win Miss United States or USA. But anyway, I'm digressing. Go on with back to the.
Okay. But it is a good point. It's completely different. And I'm glad we touched upon it because it's not the same at all. So that is wonderful. But you were shooting in Chicago. Did you ever have it go through your mind like, well, maybe I should have contacted the Beverly Hills office so I could be over there? Or did you just not care? Because I thought of calling the Beverly Hills office because I wanted to move there. You like living in Las Vegas. Okay.
Yeah.
You go ahead
I'm sorry. Yeah. I actually loved Chicago in its own right shooting there. I'm glad that I had that experience, but it made me feel like an outsider when I was in the studio in LA because I wasn't their baby. I felt that when I shot with Arnie because everybody had shot with him and I had shot with Richard vaguely and I loved Richard. You become like a family. So I was like a family with the Chicago team, you know, but I'm glad looking back, I wouldn't have it any other way because I got to experience, you know, the Windy City and I got to go places I wouldn't have gone. And then I also got to enjoy the mansion and, you know, I didn't work as much as I would have liked in the studio there, but the videos were fun. And I love LA, of course, and all of I have so many friends there. And then the opportunity, you know, as I realized with film and things like that I started growing a love for, are all there, all the opportunities there. And then it just there's nothing like, you know, California and Beverly Hills, and it is. It's
right. Really, but I agree, though, that I agree with you. That was good for you to really get a taste of both. I mean, after I did mine, I did shoot. I went over there for a couple of cover shoots and got to know Richard. But I have questions about it over there because I only saw the studio. When you went over there, I mean, I was 1992 Miss December, and you were the reigning playmate of the year 1992. So I was very well aware.
Isn't that fun?
It was that playmate of the year. This playmate of the year is so Girl Next Door. It's so, I've never seen a face like that. And when you said that your boyfriend called you doll baby or baby doll,
mm-hmm,
right?
Baby doll, yeah.
I'm like, you are so much a baby doll. And your face is so beautiful and innocent. There's an innocence, but yet very sexy, too. But just pure. I think that Hess must have just loved that. You know, getting somebody that is just so young and has done nothing else new. Well, most of us hadn't, but, you know, when you're 24, 25 years old, you've experienced a lot more. But here, you're like a total baby.
Yeah, and I think your photos, and it's like you, Barbara, you are such a professional. Like, you just know, you exude that just, I mean, and now I love your pictures now. It blows my mind. I'm like, she is inspiring me. You make me want to start shooting pictures again. Like when I see your pictures, I keep thinking, my gosh, I need to reach, I want to do pictures again. It's so fun.
Look at you up. Get you a
because
photo
you
too.
Have that joy, and I miss it. I really do. And when I see you, I'm like, why not? Why shouldn't we do this when we're 50? Why not?
No reason.
Yes, and if you take good care of yourself. But getting back to me, I was a baby back when I posed. And those, and it, when you talk about, you know, my photos back then, looking at my face, I really was this, you know, doughy-eyed thing that really didn't, I'm like, it was all brand new. And they would have to tell me, I have no idea, how do you be sexy? I'm not even experienced there. I don't know how to, you know, make this work.
Cute.
But
tell us then about your centerfold. Describe it. Describe the theme and what they did. And did you like it? Did you love it?
Oh, yes. So that was another thing. They had built this water that the set that was water, and they had tried it before. It's another one of those weird things, and it was a fiasco. The water is, well, you know, I think every playmate I have ever talked to has cried while they were getting their centerfold pictures because you have to be so perfectly still for so long and sometimes days on end. I think it took us days for hours and hours. I don't know if you remember that special camera. And it's that special giant Polaroid camera, and you cannot move. And so that water, even though, because it was cold after a while in the studio, so I would start shaking. And I, you know, at one point I started crying. And they said, don't worry, everybody does this. Everybody cries. I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm crying.
No, there were a lot of criers at the Wet n Wild shoot. A lot. It was cold. I mean, there's ice cubes. You're standing next to a giant ice cube, and it's freezing. And how many hours do you endure that?
I know. I used to joke, and I would say, there's the Army Rangers, there's the Navy SEALs. Because when we were filming in the cold, naked, I mean, that was before Naked and Afraid.
Yes.
Like, we interviewed one of those people too, right, Johnny?
Cool. I'm totally
joking.
Yes,
we did.
I mean, but,
That's funny. But, okay, so
I
remember this. Oh. But I thought that was your Playmate of the Year layout with the water. So this, your, no,
so
it was your
we,
centerfold. And you were leading horizontal.
Yes, I was vertical in the water.
Okay.
And yeah, and then
beautiful.
The 1991 August issue, and then
mm-hmm.
And then the Playmate of the Year shoot, yeah, was all in Jamaica, which was amazing. What an experience!
I was
going
to ask you that. Where you? Because you get to go somewhere so special. Okay, so take us back to came out Miss August. We all know how wonderful it is. You're an instant celebrity, basically. But then, on top of that, everybody's talking about Playmate of the Year in 1991. Who's it going to be? Tell us about what the buzz was like.
Oh, my gosh. I remember, you know, and girls do get funny. And, of course, everybody wanted it. And then there was one point, there was a bunch of us on a bus. And I forget if it was here in Vegas, if it was a Wet n Wild thing. I think it might have been one of the Wet n Wild parties because we were all on a bus the night, and it was all the 1991 girls. I mean, and they're like, they started kind of getting, I won't say who or anything, but a couple of them started kind of, you know, so-and-so better not get it and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah.
Really?
Just getting kind of a little bit funny because it's, you know, they all wanted it. And
yeah.
And then I said, if this is what people are going to be like, because they were being back, you know, there was like these backstabbing moments. I said, I don't want it. I do not want it. If, you know.
Did you say that out loud to them in the back?
I did. So it was even crazier when I ended up getting the news, which I thought they were kidding with me. But I think one of the reasons
about the phone call. I want to know the details.
Well, I was staying in Long Beach. I was living in Long Beach at the time. And I get a call, and it was, oh my gosh, how come I cannot think of her name right now? Shame on me. What? I cannot think of
was
her name.
Was it Marilyn?
Elizabeth Norris. I think it was Elizabeth Norris back in the day. And she said, Karina, are you sitting down? And I said, no, why? It didn't even dawn on me, you know. She goes, well, we just had a meeting, and we have selected you our 1992 Playmate of the Year. There was, because I guess people call in and vote, and then they also had
uh-huh.
a meeting and everything. And I'm like, what? I find myself, you know, one of those moments in life that was so surreal. It was probably one of the best moments of my life. It was such happiness. I was so, I can't even explain the joy. I can't even explain it. And I think it was my boyfriend at the time saw me and saw my face and was like, what's happening? What's wrong? And I looked that like, you know, shocked. And as soon as I hung up the phone, I said, they just selected me as the Playmate of the Year. I said, are you guys, is someone playing a joke on me? But yeah, it was really spectacular. And then right away, and you know how Playboy works, it was boom, boom, boom. Okay, let's make sure you're still looking like this. And let's make sure we're going to book these flights. We're doing this, 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 and this. And they already were planning before they even called me. You know, we're going to
mm-hmm.
fly you to Jamaica, and we're, you know, the whole crew, and we're, you know, going to do the shoot, the Playmate of the Year pictorial there, and then the Playmate of the Year party, and all of those things, were, you know.
Which was my very first, by the way, because I was Miss December 1992, so,
yes.
right? So then I would
yes,
have been that, and
pictures.
I remember.
Yes, and that was something, and I do feel proud of this, Barbara, that Hef even said that he said that there were more Playmates, because you know how we get to work with each other, and we you know, you bond and you become friends. You become these you forge friendships. And so Playmates were calling and wanted to come to the Playmate of the Year party. So I am so sorry, I'm getting a call. They even invited Playmates from years ago. Do you remember? It was the most Playmates. Yes, they had never done that before, where it's usually just the Playmate of the Year and then maybe a couple Playmates, but it was mostly family and media and special guests.
No,
but
I did not know,
Playmates.
Karina.
Yes.
That to me was just the norm. I guess I got lucky because you made it that way. You made it with your magnetic personality. Everybody loved you, and they wanted to be there to support you. And you know what?
I
knew nothing else.
Everybody.
I thought every Playmate of the Year party was a huge luncheon like that. And because it was like that every year after.
No.
So you changed. You changed it.
That was the first one like that. Yeah, that was
the
first one like that.
I know.
That's amazing.
And what made it even more special, like my cousins were there, and my cousins even, people that we, like, I'm trying to think of some of the Playmates that their month and year was my cousin, you know, birth month and when they were born. Yeah.
That's cool. Because Miss August, that'd be cool to be Miss August. My birthday's in August, you know, I thought that would be cool.
I've actually wondered about meeting Miss May 1972, because that was the year I was born. So,
well, get her on the show, and then you could meet her.
Wait,
okay.
What month?
Johnny.
What month is your birthday?
May 1972.
His is May. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Awesome. We'll get her on, Johnny.
Yeah, and Barbara, we hit it off right away. And that's how much fun.
Karina.
Oh, my gosh.
Karina, before you say it, I want to tell the little cute story about when you stayed at my house, and I know exactly when that was. It must have been 92-93 because I remember where I was living. Could be maybe 94, but I'm not so sure. But I know that apartment that I was living in, I only lived there for 1 year, and you will know, okay? You came and stayed with me because you had to do some shooting for Playboy, and I was in Beverly Hills. You got dizzy. I think you fell on the bathroom floor. I came running, and I call, are you okay? You didn't know what was going on. Well, turned out you were pregnant. You found out at my house that you were pregnant or something.
Yes.
About that. You remember?
Yeah. Yes, I do remember. Yeah. Isn't that funny? Yep. And I had no idea, and I dropped like a fly. I'm like, why did I do that?
And you collapsed.
Yeah.
You went to the bathroom, and you fell off the toilet. Sorry, everybody, but I mean, hey, it happened, and weird things happen when you get pregnant. Your hormones are flying, and you flew off, and you landed on the floor, and then I don't know if you went home. You probably went home and got tested and went to the doctor. And then you're like, Barbara, that's because I was pregnant. Do you remember what year that was?
Well, my daughter was born in 1995, so it was 94.
Okay, 94. Okay, yes, I must have lived there in 94.
And I were married. We were just married in 94.
How lucky.
This guy
got the brand new Playmate of the Year. He's married to her, and you guys are still married. You guys have one of the best marriages I've ever seen. You love him. It's a great, happy marriage. You have kids, and all just, like, turned out so well. Thank God. It's really everything turns out well for you.
Well, that's God's, not me. But, you know, not really. I mean, my husband and I, everybody has their issues or deals. Like, 4 years ago today, we were just talking about this earlier. 4 years ago today, my husband had a seizure on the freeway, and we found out he had a giant brain tumor today. So 4 years ago today, on this day, and I'll never forget.
August 26th.
It was about this yeah, it was about this time I got a phone call and he said, come get my gun. They don't allow it in the ER. And I'm like, and he sounded horrible, like he was in so much pain. I said, ER, why are you in the ER? And I, you know, went
why are
straight
you asking
there.
Him,
my
why
brother,
is he asking for his gun?
Because he's a policeman. He had his gun with him.
Well, he's not police, but he's a CCW. He carries, he always carries
okay.
a gun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
cool.
But yeah, but that was the only thing he was concerned about. Come get my gun. They don't allow it. And the highway patrolman had it, and he was so sweet. And but everyone was calling in. I don't know how he didn't wreck or kill people. He just, I swear, his guardian angel pulled his truck over because it was rush hour traffic. Like it's at the Spaghetti Bowl in Vegas. You know
how
busy that's like LA freeway. And he said the last thing he remembered was looking at the speedometer, and it said 65 miles an hour. That's all he remembers. And and the truck pulled over, and then the next thing you know, he has a broken shoulder, and the ER doctor, because we think the paramedics, but we would never, we're grateful they saved his life, but we think because he's so big, you know, I think they tried to get him on that gurney, or, and he was having a seizure and they dropped him or something. But so then he had to have brain surgery to remove the tumor that was the size of an egg. And when I saw that 4 years ago today, I'm like, holy crap. Like and I noticed things happening with him, but I was like, well, I now it all makes sense, but now he's fine. Everything's great. By the grace of God, it was not cancerous.
Thank God.
Meningioma, brain tumor that was non-cancerous. Thank you.
Oh,
I'm
thank
so grateful.
God. Yes.
I know.
But he was okay with everything because back then in 1994, you probably were still working up a storm, modeling, acting.
Yes.
All of that.
Yeah,
and he was okay with all of that.
Yeah, and he was in the Navy doing his thing, and we were just young and in love, you know. It's so funny. And now, you know, you grow even closer through the storms. Like, it's just a different kind of, you know, it really is special. And thanks for pointing that out, Barbara, because I am grateful. I really am grateful for the way things turned out. Yeah.
That's wonderful. But then you started to really get a love for acting, and you are still doing it. And you are actually a producer and a director, not only just an actress, but you're really doing a lot in the industry. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Well, gosh, last night I was just on set. I love collaborating, even with Unique, like this project that I have to do this full prosthetic face, and I'm playing three different characters in this film, and it's just going to be one of those freaky films, but I'm having so much fun with it, and I like the team. Kyle, the director,
awesome.
Is amazing. But
and you just love
I have
becoming a character.
Yes, and I love the, you know, I started teaching about, I guess it's been 10 years ago now, and I never realized throughout the years, you know, how much you just have all these tools from training and classes. And so I also have been able to bring that joy to kids. And, you know, I have I'm very proud of a few of my students that are there in LA working. And, but then, you know, as far as my projects, we have a film we're currently seeking funding for, The Ivory Curse, and this is such a fascinating project. And then I just wrapped on another film called Kindred that's it's a psychological thriller. So I'm having so much fun.
I want to ask you, though, about Vegas. Vegas with the acting. Obviously you've seen this grow. I didn't know there was such a demand for production there. So it keeps you ultimately very busy.
Yes, and I think
wow.
Yes, and I think because with technology and what we have available to us. I believe every city that there's these budding film communities. Well, our film community here, I think because we are so close to LA, I have so many actor friends here that it is competitive and you really have to bring your A game. And it is hard work and it's fun because I've seen so many of my actor friends here that are working and they're back and forth, from LA and here because, Hollywood is Hollywood. But I also believe with the talent here and the climate and things going on, yes, there are more and more productions that are happening here. And it is exciting. And things are opening up. And as sad as things are right now, I mean, things are not opening up in Hollywood right now. and me saying
crazy.
That at home last night, we're all wearing, everybody's wearing their masks. And it's a different world right now. Until this pandemic,
right?
And he's through history and wipes a bunch of us out. But it is what it is, sadly, and so sad.
It's
but
so
theater
sad.
Is booming because you're doing a lot of theater. And in fact, I would love to see some theater when I come through town. And you're producer director at Alibi Las Vegas, and there's a dinner show performance. Are you doing this every weekend?
It's immersive theater, and it's kind of the only one of its kind. It's a pub crawl, comedy improv, scavenger hunt of sorts because you're solving clues to get to the next venue. Sadly, Barbara, because of this pandemic, it is completely shut down and it's breaking my heart and I, in fact I'm on the phone every day because I'm getting phone calls and people want to come. They love the show. People come back 4 and 5 times. People who are from other countries have come back 3 and 4 times. So that's I'm so proud of that, and that's just a testimony to the talent in the show. The caliber of performers, they are funny. They're some of the funniest people you've ever cry laugh. Like, I am not exaggerating when I say that I have, it's such a joy every Saturday. We're Saturdays only. When the tickets sell out, when they're gone, they're gone. That's one of our things, once they're gone, they're gone. Mm-hmm. Because there's only so many people that can come through each one, but there are 6 shows every Saturday. Not until the venues
open
back up.
How long is it? How many minutes?
It's a 2.5 hour. It's a 2.5 hour experience. So you get a text from Cuddles the Showgirl. And she tells you where to meet, and that's your first clue, and it's so much fun. You get that the day before that morning, and then, telling you where to go, and then you meet, and then you're dropped into it. All I can say, because it's all, I don't want to give too much away, because once we're back on our feet, which I am so hopeful, fingers crossed, like I said, I've been... Every day I'm having to make phone calls and I'm going to have to talk to Groupon. They started running the ad again and I didn't realize I had signed for them to do that. So the tickets are selling and we're not able to open. So
a lot of little things, a lot of loose ends that you have to go and take care of.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Wow. Because I looked that up today. And it's not my first time. Like I told you, I've been monitoring this because when I go to Vegas, I want to catch your show for sure.
Yeah,
I was disappointed.
You know
as
that you
well.
Are welcome.
Oh, and you know what? We love laughing till we cry, don't we?
Yes.
You're perfect for that.
Oh my gosh,
you are so funny.
Silly. If we can't laugh, especially and right now, we need laughter therapy. I think we need laughter therapy more than ever. Oh my God.
Yes.
You know,
and I see your posts on social media, and your IG is Harney Jones.
It was stolen last year. So that was really the best, and I had thousands of followers and funny videos. But it was
hijacked. What do you mean it was
stolen? Sadly.
oh, somebody got into my Instagram and I did not see my email alerting me to it in time, and they deleted all of my photos, added their own. I don't know if they thought they were going to get a record deal, because I don't know what, I won't say who it is, but they have, you know, taken over my Instagram, and it makes no sense. And they lost 2,000 followers probably the first day, just because they're like, who is this person?
Because I saw that, Karina, now that all makes sense, because when I looked at your Instagram, I'm like, what?
Yeah,
that
different.
Little followers for Playmate.
I think it knocked the wind out of me. The past year, it just knocked the wind, because there are things that are gone, friends that are gone. You know how that is. Like, there's messages with friends that are no longer here, and it all makes me sad, so I have a hard time with it, and I don't even know. It grew organically because it was just genuine. So at the end of the day, I don't know how to redo. I can't be fake, so I am what I am, and what you know what I mean by that.
I totally get it.
I don't even know how to recreate it. It just makes you sad that people would
start
do that.
Scratch. No, it's very bad, because that is your persona.
I know. Oh,
wow. Oh, wow. I didn't know
but
that,
now I
Karina.
Open too.
And you know
I
what? That gives us all a lesson, everybody, to all the listeners out there. Make sure you monitor that, because it can happen. You know, it can happen. It's devastating. If you have, I don't know how many followers you had. I'm sure it was many thousands of followers gone in a poof. Now, protect your, change your password a lot, I guess. I need to go do that now, too, after hearing that.
Yes, you do. You do, because it's a new world we live in. It's really bizarre, you know, and I know that we don't pay for Instagram, but it does become a business if you're able to sell things on it or whatever. And you start doing business on, you know, and I was talking to movie people, and it just makes me really sad. Now I open two different ones. I have a Karina Harney Jones one, and I have a Karina Harney one. And my Karina Harney one, I was going to start posting a lot of Playboy photos and things and make that more my Playmate persona, and then do, you know, the other one.
That's
more
good idea.
Just really neat. So anyway, and that's that.
So everybody, let's get a jump start to, you know, Karina having to start all over with her Instagram. We feel for you. Follow her. Harney Jones, that's one handle. Karina Harney Jones. And is there another one?
I think I have my Alibi. There's Alibi the Show. Alibi the Show.
I saw that. Now I'm following you on all of those. But let me say something. This is so funny. IMDb, I was looking at your IMDb. You've done tons of movies and lots of stuff. Everybody check that out, but I'm seeing this Beach House movie. And I said, well, I was in Beach House. So I started looking. Yes, there I am. I'm in the cast. And I see I played the Snow Cone Girl. It was one of, like, you know, my first acting parts on the beach. And then you played yourself. We were in that same movie. Did you know I was in that Beach House movie, too? You did?
Yes, and you looked so cute. So cute.
I've never
seen
it.
You haven't? It's so cute. Your part is so cute. It's been so long since I've seen it, but I remember being so excited. But you know what? My IMDb, this is another weird thing that happened to me. I have two different IMDbs, and I keep telling them, put me together, I'm the same person. I have a Karina Jones one and a Karina Harney one, and I'm billed usually as Karina Harney Jones. So it's so weird. I'm a weirdo.
I saw one, too. No, I saw another one, too. I'm having the same thing with IMDb, and for everybody out there, that's the database for all producers, directors, and actors, and everything that we've done right there to show you with the thumbnail of the movie and a trailer, and if applicable. And it's a really cool place to see our body of work, and with SAG, AFTRA, and all of that. And I'm having the same problem. There's two on myself as well, but I saw yours, and it's pretty, it's good, though. It has everything. It has everything you've been in. And those people don't answer the phone. That drives me crazy, like Facebook.
Oh,
and there's people that don't answer the phone.
You used to be able to talk to them. You used to be able to speak to them, but that's just, you know, indicative to how much talent, I guess, is out there now and how many people are in movies. And they have kept, I don't even know how they keep track of everything anyway. But, yeah, the fact that they've split us into two people, Barbara, and don't answer the phone. Silly.
Our problem, people. Our problem. To
yeah.
get it all straight. I mean, I'm doing all of my own, and then I, of course, do the Life, Laughter, Happiness, Twitter and Instagram, and Johnny does too. But, I mean, it's a lot of handles. I'm doing like 9-10 a day handles out there.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
a
lot.
Okay, but I want to get back to more of a, I don't know, it's probably not juicy because we were playmates in the 90s, but what was your relationship with Hugh Hefner?
I really loved Hef. Well, as you know, I always felt like I was talking to a walking history book. He was always such a gentleman, and I feel honored to have even had the opportunity to talk to him. And the fact that I know that he loved me feels good. Doesn't it feel good? really believe he's one of those men that has not gotten the tribute that he deserved as a philanthropist, a wonderful human being that I really believe was on the right side of history. The way he supported our troops, the way he actually put women and women of color in positions back when America was still going through those stupid changes. You know, you look back and you see just how we shouldn't have been there, and he knew it. And he knew it. And how he... Yeah, before we were even born, he was really shaping some things in America that I think were for the better. And I just really loved him. He was very dear. He was very gracious, very kind, and I feel honored that he believed in me and always gave great advice. When I produced my first film, I came to him and I said, "Hef, is this something you would want to invest in? I know that you might be able to put, you know," and you know what he told me? He said, "Karina, the reason I am not going to is because you don't want Playboy to be behind this picture." He said, "It's a beautiful picture." He put us in touch with someone at Hallmark that he was friends with, and they were going to buy the script from us. And we didn't sell. My friend Drew, the director, who now works at Paramount, and he's still my dear friend, he even said, "You know, Karina, no, we have to make this. No one else will make this. This is from our heart." So when I told Hef that, you know, even though we went and met with who he told us to meet with, he just said, "Don't identify with Playboy." And he didn't mean it hurtfully. He just meant marketing-wise, even though we used my Playmate experience in the film. There's kind of some reality to it. In the film, if you don't know what it is, it was called The Road Home. It's now Pitcher and the Pinup. I think you can rent it on Netflix or Amazon.
Okay.
It streams on Amazon, and then it circulates through Netflix now and again, but it's called Pitcher, like a baseball pitcher, and the Pinup. It's just a sweet, heartwarming film. But Hef gave me some of the best advice when we were going through getting the funding for the film. And one thing he told me, he goes, "No, you don't want my name on this. It's not going to sell the film. It's not what this is." And he was right.
If it's like a Hallmark type of thing, which
yes,
he
and
suggested.
He also, which
yeah,
funny,
no, it's
he
not.
Said that he also put me in touch with Hallmark. It was Hallmark that he put us in touch with, and they were going to option, you know, the film, buy the script. So
I'm checking it out. I'm going to check that out, Karina, and everybody else who's listening, do so as well. So check out Amazon Prime Video
and
to see if it's
and
there.
Barbara, if there's anyone out there that like wants to invest in a film, you know, people that want to invest in good art that is meaningful, or you know, I have projects that I know are good projects that we're putting together. If you want to collaborate, and I have business plans. All of those things. So anyway, the Ivory Coast.
You're busy.
Check out on Facebook, and yes, and I have a series that I'm working on. I haven't even told you about that.
No, tell us.
I know I have to go at 6. So
it's 6 o'clock. Okay, tell us about that so we can look for the comedy series, and then we'll wrap it up.
Well,
it's been an hour.
That
wow, that went by fast.
Yeah, I know. I'm shocked. I just miss you. I feel like I need to talk to you anyway. But anyway, it's going to be really funny. It's based on it's very Schitt's Creek meets it's very Arrested Development. The characters are really over the top, and they're down on their luck, but they all find the show Alibi. So it's based on my show, and in the series the show sucks, which makes it funny. In real life,
but it's like a lot of different kind of directions, and I love projects like that you know, the public, we're smart, we need a lot of stimulation.
Yes, and we need laughter. But we have to talk to you. We'll have to collaborate.
I would love to. And you know what? I'm going to be there, like I said, on the 10th, and I'm going to contact you, and I would love to have you come out. We're with a group of people for a wonderful dinner, and hopefully that will all work out. And unfortunately, the coronavirus is here. And we are not going to be able to see your live interactive theater show, but it's going to come back. Of course, it's going to come back. I am actually getting calls from things that were canceled in April they're redoing the event in October. So it's starting to slowly get back to normal.
Yeah, we're getting our sea legs. We're trying to figure out how to do it. You know, how are we going to make this work with the social distancing and with our masks and, you know, where it'll still be a pleasant experience and we can be safe and all of that. But
you're going to figure out, and I bet it stimulates you to do maybe something with masks incorporated into a project.
Yeah.
Or use a mask.
Which could be
like
silly,
it's a part of
funny.
The project.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious because, you know what, nobody has done that. I haven't seen it. And you know what, there's a lot of weird stuff with the mask. I don't like it. I mean, you know. My mom is making me 7. I'm at my mom's right now in Washington State visiting her, and I'm like, Mother, I need 7 masks. I need a fresh one every single day. Well, you can wash them. Yeah, I know that, but I don't do laundry every single day. You know, I need 7 masks. Let's do 14.
Yeah.
So she's already done it. I've only been here one day, and I woke up, and there's all these masks, like, lined up with different patterns with material, and it's done.
Mom's
boom.
So cute. Your mom's amazing. That's awesome.
Thank you.
All right, guys.
Well, this has been a wonderful hour. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, listeners,
I miss you.
You can hear this.
Thank you.
Hold on, Johnny. Do not push end yet. Let me do a 5-second closing here. Everybody, follow Karina Harney now. Karina Harney Jones. We've told you where. IG Harney Jones and Karina Harney Jones, and please listen to this show and find all of our other shows on our YouTube channel. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe, Life, Laughter, Happiness YouTube, and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram across the board. We would love to hear from you, and thank you so much. This was a wonderful hour getting to know you better. Miss August 1991 and Playboy's Playmate of the Year 1992, Karina Harney.
Yay!
All right.
Thanks, Karina. does.
I love you,
Barbara.
You'll
be hearing from me soon.
Okay.
I miss
good,
you, too.
Thank you. Thanks.
Good
love
night,
you.
Everyone.
Good night.
Good night,
Barbara.
Johnny.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.